Okay, good evening, everybody. Today,
is it? You might turn that off as you're recording. You might get that noise. Plus, it's blowing your
head. Okay, sure. If you don't mind, also, does anybody have a blank piece of paper? Do you mind just putting your name on it and then just pass it around? Thank you so much. Okay, good evening, everybody. Today, we're going to be learning about continuation. You didn't have to be here for the first Chabura, but it will be a continuation of last week. Last week, anyone tell me what we learned? Spoke about a kli that we all have. What's the kli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave every single person? The nefesh, exactly. Shekoach. Thank God at least one person was listening. And we spoke about the importance that just like with any other utensil that you get, you have to know its capabilities. You have to know its strengths. You have to know its weaknesses. For example, today I was doing some handwork around the house, and I was putting some sealant on the roof. And if I didn't know that if you get sealant on your hand and how to wash it off, we'll be in big trouble today, right? So you have to know the potential for everything. So last week we learned that there's tremendous potential in the nefesh. Nefesh has the potential of both building and of destruction. And we are modeled like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu destroys, but in his ultimate glory, a Kodesh Baruch Hu builds. What did a Kodesh Baruch Hu create? What did he build?
The world.
You, us, everything, okay? But there are times when the Kaddish Baruch Hu also destroys. It's different with the Kaddish Baruch Hu because the Kaddish Baruch Hu destroys for the purpose of creation. We, unfortunately, we destroy, and it's usually for the purpose of destruction. Anyway, that was really last week. The point that I want to get to is the unbelievable potential of the nefesh. Now, nefesh is a very nice word. Psychology, what's psychology? We said psychology is the study of the human. The human mind, we spoke about the human spirit. If you don't mind, just grab the door. The human spirit. Okay? It's a study of the human spirit. So we could say that maybe psychology, from a Torah perspective, is the study of the nefesh. And that's what we want to speak about today. We want to speak a little bit about nefesh. But before we speak about nefesh, can you tell me, do you know any people who are a little crazy? If you know someone who's crazy, some psychological issue, can you tell me what the issue is? I don't want to hear a long story. Quickly, just shoot out like an issue. Go ahead, leave in the back. And of course, nobody's talking about themselves here. Go ahead. What? Okay, schizophrenia. Just 1 second. Schizophrenia. Where would schizophrenia fall?
Neurosis,
borderline personality issues, psychosis.
Borderline.
If you think neurosis, raise your hand. Okay, if you think borderline personality, raise your hand. If you think schizophrenic, raise your hand.
That's psychosis.
Schizophrenia. It's psychosis, I'm sorry. If you think psychosis, raise your hand. You are correct. Okay? Schizophrenia falls over here. And the reason why schizophrenia falls over here is because people who are schizophrenic, psychosis means, by the way, these are three levels. Neurosis is people who have neurotic issues. Well, I don't want to tell you what that is, because then you'll figure out. So we'll just put schizophrenia here. We're going to get more. Okay, anybody else? Know anybody else with something? Go ahead. Depression. Where would depression fall out? Neurosis? Borderline personality?
Oh, wow. Two for two.
Depression. What else? Go ahead.
Anxiety.
Where would that go?
Neurosis.
Exactly, also neurosis. Okay? Why did this diagram up? Because what you see here, that even within the psychiatric world, within psychology, most of us aim for normalcy, but then eventually the severity of the psychological issue gets greater and greater. So where somebody in the neurosis column may have anxiety, let's just say what's called a phobia, I'm afraid of dogs, whatever, and their limitation is very small, if you continue with the severity, you hit the borderline personality issues, depression, mania, borderline personality issues, and then ultimately psychosis, people who are in this field, in the psychosis field, people who are not in touch with reality. I had once a professor who said to me, I'll ask you the same question, who are the most dangerous people that you can connect with? Who are the most dangerous people?
cult leaders.
Okay, who do you think is the most dangerous person that you'll ever meet?
Go ahead,
come on.
What?
Someone psychotic. Who else?
Go ahead.
What? Yourself?
Yourself.
Okay, there's medication for you to take. We'll talk about the class.
You.
Hopefully it's not you.
You're safe.
Okay, hopefully not me. Not on Thursday night. Who else is the most dangerous? What? Osama, someone's dead.
Thank
He's dead also. So who's the most dangerous person? Come on.
The person
if you walk today in Ramallah. He's potentially. So actually, the correct response is the people who are psychotic are the most dangerous people. And the reason why is that if a person is in a psychosis mode, in this column over here, then that person is not operating with reality. Once you're not operating with reality, then you don't know. You may think somebody's out to kill you when they're really not. Anyway, if you don't mind, pass this around. What we're getting to today, if you didn't sign this, if you don't mind just doing it after class. What we're getting to today is to talk about the spirit and what it has to do with all of this. What is the nefesh have to do with this? Does the Torah recognize that in fact people have issues? Does the Torah recognize that we go through depression? Does the Torah recognize that we have anger issues? Does the Torah recognize that there is an adjustment? We go through adjustments. Okay? Does the Torah recognize that some of us may feel that we want to be in control and therefore we may not want to eat? Does the Torah recognize the fact that in terms of personality issues, there are people who may be obsessive, compulsive, and listening for you on and on? Does the Torah recognize that? So look in the sheets that I handed out. Today, we're going to talk about what the Torah recognizes. If you don't have one, please share. In the first paragraph, A, if you don't have one, then please share. There's a few extra. Yeah, can you pass it? Because there's some people who don't have it. Very in front. Okay, so klei hanefesh. What is the word klei? Klei hanefesh. Anybody want to take a crack at it? The what? The vessels, the utensils of the soul, the nefesh. Hem kochotea v'tuchnotea shel hanefesh. These are the things that describe. These are the things that are the components of the nefesh. They're called the klei hanefesh. What are they? What are the components of the nefesh of psychology? Kegon, he says, simcha, rogeya, obitumyut, tsar, someone who's happy, someone who's calm, someone who's optimistic, someone who's in pain, kas, angry, v'chein kishronot moldim v'nitiyot, chayim sha'adam nivraitan. All the different types of feelings and emotions that a person is born with, they're all part of what's called the klei hanefesh. Our emotional responses, our emotional affect right now, that is all part of the klei hanefesh. We may be feeling a bit different. I can take this chair right now. I did it last time, I don't want to do it again. But let me just say, here, we'll do a little test. I don't want to bother Moshe, but for example, let me just move for 1 second, watch what I'm going to do now. Okay, we're all I really feel bad for doing this, but okay, his response to me doing that is going to be very different than my response to your response. If he was sitting there, he would have said, what's the problem with this guy? What's the problem with this rabbi? What's waking up? Somebody else coming back, oh, he's trying to make a joke, he's trying to be light-hearted. Maybe somebody here said, no, I'm here to learn. Our response is going to be very different. All the responses are under the category of klei hanefesh. Okay? And therefore, our responses, as a general point, our responses to that which happens in this world, that which happens in everything that we do, that's all part of the klei hanefesh. Adam b'matzavo hativi, a person who is in his natural state, who, this is very important, who ragua, he's calm. Sameach v'ore erech b'chayav v'masav. A normal person, a person who is in his natural state, is a person who is calm, is a person who feels contentment, he's happy, and he appreciates the life that they have. Take a moment to think about that. Because I can guarantee you, 100%, that every single person in this room, including myself, both have been in that state, but probably have been out of that state. So the person who is in his natural state is a person who is sameach and marich et chayav. He appreciates his life. He's happy. He's content. He's doing okay. However, ulam adam hanofel idikaon veyirush or sameach al amidat. Person who falls into depression, a person who feels hopeless, a person who's overly happy. What do we call a person who's overly happy in psychological terms?
Manic.
Yeah, he's manic. He's mania. Okay. Veakav. If he does not have the ability to overcome and to control his kochos, his potential, then he is adam chole b'kli nefsho. What happens to his nefesh? His nefesh is what? Chole is sick. So what I'm pointing out for you is that there are two things, the two states. What's one state? One state is Adam HaTV, which is what? Characterized by what? Who can tell me? Adam HaTV, in his natural state, he's what?
Happy.
He's happy or?
Calm.
He's calm, he what? He appreciates?
Life.
Okay? And a person who's not in his natural, what we're going to call it, Chole B'Kli Nefesh, his nefesh is sick, then what? What I'm saying, he's what?
He's depressed.
He could be depressed, he could be angry. By the way, being happy is very different than being manic. If I was manic here, I'd look fine! That's weird. Okay, it's not natural. That's manic. Okay, that's the first paragraph. Like that, Nathan? Okay, you never see me do that before.
Yeah.
You come continue, you'll see me do a lot of things, okay? But I do charge by the hour, so be careful. Alright, coming in? Okay, no problem. So now, the question is, why does a person get into the non-natural place? How does a person become in his sick, nefesh place? Second paragraph. Hasibot hayicholot ligrom lecholeh b'kli hanefesh. The reasons why a person may come to, the reason why it will cause him to become sick, his nefesh will become sick. Bilitziatam mehayizun habari hen rabot magvanot. So we have this natural state, and the reason why we come out of the natural state, there are many reasons. Okay, and there's a spectrum of reasons why. Im adam nikla limitzuka b'chayav. A person feels like he's in danger. He's in a place where he's pushed. Or if a person feels tremendous amount of lachat, a lot of stress in his life when he's a child, it's possible. This is a very important word that he's going to need tipul. What's tipul in modern English?
Therapy,
intervention. So there's a recognition here by the Rambam. This is a Pirush on the Rambam. So there's a recognition that if a person is not in his natural state, he's going to need a tipul. What? To bring him back, hativi u'mozan, to bring him back to his balanced, natural state. We'll have to work on him so that we can bring him back. So part of the job of psychology is to bring a person back to his natural state. That's part of psychology. And who's saying this? A Torahic author. So there's a recognition that we are all... Can someone hit that air conditioning? Like, I'm dying. It's like so hot. There's a reason... Maybe open the door. There's a reason... Yeah, let's go. Let's go. The reason why people may become out of the natural state. Can everyone give me a reason why a person may not be in his natural state? Okay, anyone knows a reason? Okay.
Stress.
Okay. Stress. Four. I saw a client last night. My client was 9 years old, and the parents have. When I did the consult with the parents told me this client is very, very angry. As a matter of fact, one of the things that this kid did is he lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and he lives on a block where there's only a few buildings. Most streets in Ramat Beit Shemesh have a lot of buildings, but this particular block is like a dead end. There's only a few buildings. He decided that only the people that live in the buildings are allowed to play on his block. So 2 days ago, a kid who lives in a different street was riding his bike. So this kid, my client, what do you do? He comes along to this person, he pushes him off the bike, he kicks him, he takes the bike and throws it away. These are the kind of people that I see, okay? So, you're gonna say, like, how'd you handle that? Well, let me tell you what I did, okay? It was the first time I saw him, so obviously I didn't want to scare him, like I may scare some of you the first time you see him somewhere. But but really what I did is I had him list. He's a client whose expression of emotions is very weak, very limited. I had him list emotions. I said to him, could you do me a favor? List 10 emotions that come to your mind. We're going to do it right now. Just a quick exercise, okay? List emotions. Go.
Sad, happy.
Sad. Why do you have to take over the class? Come on. Okay, sad, happy. Okay. Give somebody else a chance. Go ahead.
Angry.
Gross.
What? If you don't know how to pronounce, you don't know how to spell it, so don't say it, okay? Go ahead.
Darn.
What else? Excited?
Fear?
Hyper? Happy? Embarrassed? We could come up with 10, right? Let me tell you, he came up with 10. Afraid? Alone? Upset? Sad? It was all negative, except for the first one. The first one said happy. Why did the first one say happy? Because I gave him an example. I role model for him, and I said to him, he's only 9 years old, I said, you know, an example of an emotion is like being happy. So he used the first one, happy. Everything else, this. So you see, you're dealing with somebody whose feelings and his emotions are, whoa, it's like there's something going on there. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, continuing on. We are now in the third paragraph. Tipul zeh. So the reason for psychology is tipul zeh enu mitaches lishela haim adam tov ra. When a psychologist goes into action, the regular secular psychologist, not hopefully the Torahic psychologist, he's not looking to make a statement, is this person bad or is this person good? He's not looking to make that statement. He's not looking to find out, you know, am I dealing with a person who's evil in nature or not? When a person comes into my office also, I don't immediately assume to figure out what is the essence of this person. Is he very spiritual? I'm not looking to make statements about who he is. I'm looking to find out what the issues are and what's going on. Ela, listen, it's underlined. Osek ach v'rak b'metan pitrol l'choli l'choser ha'izun sh'adam nitzabo v'doeg l'asher b'etad l'am t'kvodot ha'kin. The psychologist's purpose is to see, whoa, this guy is so not in the natural state. My job is to bring him back to the natural state. So in this particular client, there's a lot of anger there. So when I saw him, I really assessed what was going on a little bit emotionally. My job for him is to get him to become aware of his emotional state, so when he sees a kid who he's not necessarily friendly with or even doesn't like, that he doesn't react in a physical way, but he can get a little bit in touch with his emotions. He may say to the kid, hey, what are you doing on my block? He doesn't have to be the best friend of his kid, but certainly there's no reason to push him and kick him and throw his bike away. Matarata tipula psychologi. He tovata adam. Many will say that this is incorrect, but I think it's true. I'm in the profession. So I'll read it again. You'll help me translate. Matarat hatipul hapsychologi. The reason of psychological therapy. He tovat adam. It's for the good of man. Okay? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with it. Unfortunately, there are people who go through either major trauma, or the people who... Whatever, I can go through the list of different psychological issues that people have. There's nothing wrong with getting help for something which is unnatural and to bring back a person to a balanced state. The Rambam says, there's nothing wrong with it. Hamatarai sha'adam yuchal lichyot et chayav b'ofen normali. The purpose is that the person can feel adjusted and the person should feel he can continue to live life in a normal way. He should have the motivation to get up in the morning without feeling depressed, without feeling hopeless, without having negative feelings and without having fear. Do we all agree now? Psychology is okay? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see you tonight. Okay. Baruch Hashem. So the purpose of the psychologist is to bring back the person to the normal state. Now he's going to make a comparison. He's saying in many ways, the psychologist, the professional person who is doing the therapy, in many ways he actually is modeling, he's doing the same thing that the medical doctor does. Why? Just like, do we have any extra of these sheets? If anybody wants, still extra ones. If you don't have, feel free to take. You want to take? Don't worry about it. Just like the purpose of the doctor is to make sure that a person is operating in an appropriate way, in a normal way. So just like the medical doctor brings a person back to the normal state, hey, I totally cut myself today, I didn't go to the doctor, okay, let's just say, you guys see Dr. Fruchter here all the time, right? Somebody hurt his ankle, the purpose of the doctor is what? To make sure that the person can walk again and feel like normal again. So too, the purpose of the psychologist is to make sure that the person is getting back to his natural state. Just like a doctor takes place, help the person who hurt his leg, the doctor doesn't say to the patient, if you come to the doctor and you say,
I hurt my leg.
Okay? The doctor doesn't say to the client, to the patient, well, where are you going? The doctor will say, tell me what's bothering you. The doctor will say, can you move your leg here? Does it hurt? Does it? The doctor will say, what do you need it for? Where are you going? Are you going to practice tonight? He doesn't say that. Other people say that, but not the doctor. Right? It's Thursday night. Sometimes he jokes in us. It's not really okay. He should refer to tell the time. So we said, so he doesn't ask where he's going. He doesn't say to him, hey, are you a spiritual guy? He doesn't say that. Right? He doesn't say, are you a spiritual guy? You see Dr. Fruchter, does he say to you, what, you're wearing tzitzis today? He's not saying that. And if you're not wearing tzitzis, you should take light of that question. The whole purpose is to bring a person back to his natural state. And that is the same thing that psychologists try to do. Final paragraph on this right over here, on the side to the right. Can the vargam be full of psychology? So too, the same thing is with psychology. When there's a problem with kli hanefesh, what do we say kli hanefesh was? The person's what? What?
Emotional
responses. The whole purpose should be get him back to the natural state. You're feeling depressed? Get him back to a place where he's feeling happy. You're feeling a little bit manic? Get him, lower him down. You're feeling stressed out? Make him unstressed. You're feeling anxious? Get that phobia, get that anxiety away from him. That's the whole purpose. He's not dealing with mahut nafsho, the essence of the nefesh. So we have two things that we're talking about today. So far we spoke about the kli hanefesh. The kli hanefesh is a person's emotional responses. The psychologist, just like the doctor, does not deal with the mahut, the essence of the nefesh. What do they deal with? Only the, use the terminology that we're using here, only the kli hanefesh. So far you're with me? Okay, I need someone to read. It's English, don't worry. A volunteer. Okay, take it away. Mental disorder.
A mental disorder or mental illness is a psychological or behavioral pattern associated with distress or disability that occurs in an individual. It is not a part of normal development or a culture.
Okay, stop right there. Does that sound similar to what we just spoke about, the kli hanefesh? Okay. Can somebody tell me on the outside? What did Yosef just read? What is he saying? What's a mental disorder? What?
Not normal.
Out of normal development. Okay, keep going.
The recognition and understanding of mental health conditions has changed over time and across cultures, and there are still variations in the definition, assessment, and classification of mental disorders, although standard guideline criteria are widely accepted.
Okay, which means that for the most part, all psychologists, all medical doctors, we all have books. DSM-4, DSM-5, it's basically a diagnostic manual. You open it up, you look at the characteristics, not sleeping, not eating, not enjoying things that he normally enjoys, then sleeps too much. Then, what are we talking about?
Depression.
Who said it? Excellent. Well done. Depression. Okay? So we look at the characteristics, and then we say, wow, the characteristics of this person is like the disorder depression, and then we begin to treat what? The disability. And that was the kli hanefesh. So the kli hanefesh is what the psychologist looks at. So Rabosai, why am I telling you this today? Why is this important to know?
Because of what we learned before. And that is that since psychology is what, Josh?
What? Psychology is what? The study of the spirit. Spirit.
So that's psychology of Taurus. So.
Okay. No, psychology of the spirit. Look at your sheets from last week. Spirit, which is the also the nefesh. The nefesh is made up of two components. There is a clear nefesh and there's a neutral nefesh. All the emotional response, and we'll get to it. We're going to get to depression. We're going to get to mania. We're going to get to anxiety. We're going to get to all that. But all that is really under one section. But there's another section there, and that's the mahut hanefesh, the essence of the nefesh, the reason why you are all created. When you wake up in the morning, you say modeh ani lefanecha, it's your nefesh that came back to you. So what if your nefesh is in a natural state? Who cares? So what if you're happy and content? Is that what life is? Is life about me getting up in the morning, having a little breakfast, coming down to shir? I'm happy and content. It's great. It's great. A little shawarma, it makes me happy. Woo! Having a great time. That's what it's about. That's why we're here. So that's why we need to learn about the mahut nefesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu also creates within us the mahut nefesh. Last week we asked the question, do goyim, do they have a nefesh? Some of you said they do not have. Some of you said they do have. I don't want to get into that argument right now, but one thing that I can tell you is that they may not necessarily have, based on the definition we're going to give today, they may not necessarily have the mahut nefesh. Although some do, but as a totality, they may not necessarily have mahut nefesh. What does this mean in English? The essence, the reason why we say modi anu lefanecha. Okay, let's continue. So, al kein inyanim shel Yisrael v'abinyan shelahem v'ivnod b'chayehem aluomim v'aparteim hu kesher el ha'idealim halukim v'shayachut alehem. Maybe we can say what we're suggesting here, that a person's ultimate connection is not just to live a life with a little shawarma. There's nothing wrong with shawarma. Shawarma is great. You want to be getting shawarma for dinner. But if you're living just for the shawarma or for the Diet Coke or for the Mac Stick downstairs, you've got a problem. Because if that is what life is for you, then you are not living life to the potential. You're certainly not living life to the way we spoke about it last week. And that is the role of creating like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What is he suggesting here? Suggesting that a person's kesher, a person always tries to connect to. Okay? In order to understand this, you have to be a little bit mature. Because a 10-year-old will never get what I'm trying to say now. And by the time a 40-year-old finds this out, it's a little bit too late. And that's why you're really in the great place to be. You're not really kids anymore. High school's finished. And you're just starting adulthood. So pay attention. Person tries to connect to something which is a little bit more meaningful in their lives. And if you haven't thought about that yet, start thinking about it. Rosh Hashanah is next week. You ever thought about, what am I doing here? If you haven't thought about that yet, start doing it now. What you're doing here is certainly to be productive. It's to create. But it's also to have a connection to the essence. And that, he suggests here, is to connect to your idealistic spiritual essence. Yisrael, the Jews, chafetzim sha'emet ha'elokit tofia v'temeleit kol chayem. What is the essence of the Jew? The essence of the Jew is that they want, that they yearn, to reach, to understand, to cling to be part of the true, ultimate, godly connection, and to have that fill their lives. What I just said is very deep. Listen to what I just said right now, because I'm going to ask one of you to repeat it. The essence of the Jew is to find the connection which is much more meaningful than just the ice cream bar. Much more meaningful than just a platonic relationship with Michal Agron. Much more meaningful. Relax, Shimmy, take it easy. Okay? Hava, you should have something like that. Okay? Oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Michila? Okay. much more meaningful than that. Person, a Jew, wants, yearns to connect to something which is going to make him feel amazing, make him feel complete, make him feel whole, make him feel content. And that is a connection to spirituality. Today, in order for a person's nefesh to actually feel this, Baraha Kadosh Baruch Hu with nefesh Adam, kach she'Adam yeh misugal lishtayef el ha'emet elokit. When man was given the nefesh, when man was given his spirit, when man was given the mahut nefesh, God created his nefesh with the ability, with the capability of being able to connect. How many times do I hear in my office, Rabbi, I don't understand the Gemara. Rabbi, I'm not feeling it. Rabbi, why is it when I'm in shul, I'm looking around, there's a guy who gets his people going like this, and it's crazy, and he's connected, and I don't feel nothing. I'm saying a bunch of words. The answer to that is, you have the potential. What you have to do to get there is different for all of us in this room. But you have the potential. And by the way, this doesn't make you connected. It may be a good exercise regimen, but doesn't necessarily make you connected. It may make you connected, but that's not what we're striving for. We're striving for a real emistic connection. To connect to your spiritual side, so that what's going to happen is that you are going to become part of that spirit. Everything that you do, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, becomes that which is godly. And by the way, what do we know about this from Bereshit? The water Kadosh Baruch Hu creates what? Hey, a Tzelem Elokim. So what we're talking about is to take that Tzelem Elokim that exists in every single one of us and to dry it out, to bring it out of ourselves. If we would not reach for that ultimate religious spiritual essence, the nefesh, the matzav kazeh haya efshar l'dmol v'l'dbera chayim elokim, v'akesher haim ha'amet, adiyan elokim, aval kol elu im dibrim ba'ama b'lo kol mashmud. If a person doesn't strive, we could talk about idealistic, we could talk about spiritual stuff, we could talk about religious, but you know what? We're never going to get to it. If a person doesn't strive, doesn't accept upon himself that this is the way that he wants to go, you can talk all you want. You can come to this class, you can come to Emunah classes, you can talk, but you will always remain in your external shell. If you want to reach to the real shell, to that spiritual side, if you haven't reached it yet, you first need to want it. You need to urge it. You need to yearn it. Once you want it, it'll be very easy to get to. Okay? Two more quick paragraphs and we're finished. כדי להשתייך למטרה האלוקית כך שכל חיים יראו ודרכו על פיה יש ללמוד מהי מהות הנפש. If you want to be, to have this connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to know for yourself what is your essence. And yours is very different than mine. And even if I tried 1,000 times over, I can never do what each one of you in this room does. I can never be complete in the way that you are complete. Okay? I can never achieve what David achieves. I can never achieve what Neve achieves. Not only with his muscle, but everything else. Okay? I can never achieve, I'm talking about the spiritual piece. Okay? So you need to learn about it. You have to be open to it. Mitoch kach yesh l'mod keitzan lo'tzia tatama l'po'. You have to learn how to open yourself. You have to learn how to be to receive this. You have to learn, how do I get to that place? You have to know about, you have to want a spiritual life. You have to want to connect. You have to want it. That's the bottom line. Don't think, by the way, I'm coming to psychology and Torah 6-10 Thursday nights, but at the end of the year I'm going to be connected. How vibe. Doesn't work like that. You want it? You want to have a spiritual life? You want to be connected? is going to require a tremendous amount, amal v'rab, which means a lot of effort. It's going to require work. And just like with everything in life, all the good things come after things that are complicated. I'll share with you, try not to share too many personal things there, so. Person, you don't know this yet, but B'ezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you a bracha of Hatzlacha, you should all have children in the family. Amen.
Amen.
But a person has a child, whether it's the first time, the second, the fifth, or the seventh, or the 20th. The mother who carries that unborn baby in her body goes through 9 months. Sometimes their 9 months are not easy. They're very uncomfortable. They come along with pressures and nausea and it's just hormonal changes and depression. And even in America, a couple of months ago in America, post-traumatic depression, and some woman that killed her children and her husband shot herself, comes with a lot of pain. But when you hold that child, especially after birth, birth is so horrifically painful. Thank God we're not women. Okay? But yeah, Shalom San Isha, say it again. Go ahead. Say it again.
Shalom
San Isha. Amen! Okay? So the bottom line is, after all that, that koshi, when you hold in your hand a child, it's unbelievable. This world was created in how many days?
6 days.
Okay. Matt, in the seventh day, we had Shabbos, but it was created in 6 days, right? Okay, relax, take it easy. Math 101. Why did God create the world so many days? God is so amazing and powerful. He didn't even need to do this. He could have just done that. But why? Because he's trying... That's a question I'm going to answer, I'm sorry. Because I think what Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to do is he's trying to create a model. You want Shabbos, you have to work for 6 days. The model is, you want something, you have to work for it. Sometimes it comes into the category of Lefum Tzara Agra. According to the effort, according to the pain, is going to be the reward. But if you truly want something, most of the time, it's not going to come easy. Most of the time, you're going to have to work really hard. You want to make $1 million? Anybody in this room want to make $1 million? If you want to make $1 million, be really rich one day. Raise your hand. Come on, let's be honest. We're all friends. Okay? Hey, I'm putting my hand up also. But I also know working Torah Shabbat is not going to get me there. Okay? But for the people who are really serious about it, I mean, I say I want it, but am I really serious? I really want to have a life that's filled with a quality, meaningful life. Because after 120, please God, the money's not coming with me to the grave. But to have a quality life, to have a family, to enjoy the values, that's amazing. To come to my Shabbos table to be with my guests and my children and my family, oh, that's gewaldig. But if you really want $1 million, because $1 million can buy you many things, okay? Don't get me wrong, I don't mind having $1 million, but it's not necessarily a priority. If you really want $1 million, you know for sure, and some of you may even get there, you can't wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning, you can't decide to work at 11:30 after you eat brunch, and you can't come home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to work. You have to work. You have to really work. You want to finish university, you want to be on the top level of university, you want to get 3.9 average, you got to work, you got to put the hours in. Even if you're a genius, you got to work. Okay? You want to go on a diet, you got to work, you got to exercise. You want to be fit, you got to work, right? It's not easy. Do you mind saying it? I don't mean to embarrass you. I'm just saying it. Okay? You got to work. You want to know computers? You got to figure it out. You got to do something. You need a pool light, you need effort. It doesn't come to you like this. Okay? And that's the message here. The message is, if you want to be connected, if you want to have a spiritual life, if you want to know anything about what God is, about having a meaningful life, what you have to do is you have to learn about yourself. And that's the mahut nefesh. And that's what you have to do. You have to first be open, be accepting to learn about yourself. About your strengths, about your weaknesses, everything about yourself. Once you're able to do that, then you can begin to have a connection. Any questions? To recap, Today we spoke a little bit about
the differences between Kli Nefesh and Mahut Nefesh.
Kli Nefesh is what, Rav Ossai? Is a person's emotional reaction. And in those emotional reactions we have many. And they include what? Being angry, happy, sad, depressed. Okay? And we spoke about that when man created, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him in a natural state. The natural state is to be happy, to be calm, to what? To appreciate his life. When we do not, are not in this natural state, okay, we're not, then we have other feelings. We may be angry, we may be sad, we may have tremendous amount of stress in our lives. Last year, I was in near Tachanat HaMerkazit, a block away, a bomb went off. That's very traumatizing for me. Okay? It gives you... Yeah. Not everything I say is a lie. It really happens. I try to say the truth. Okay? Last year. The end of last year. I was going home. And usually I leave here at 3 o'clock. I have a clinic that I go to. And on the way there. But the force... Right, but the Ramat Bechemish bus, even though I don't live in Ramat Bechemish, I take that bus anyway. Right there. Bomb went off. I'm a block away. People are all over the floor. This blood, this chaos. That is chaos. You know, if you want to see what chaos is, that's chaos. Okay? Army comes in, police come in. I wasn't here. Okay? But I was shaken. That's stress. You know, that's stress. There's many types of stress. I'm just sharing with you one small little glimpse of what stress can be. That's stress. I was like this. Thank God I was at college. I all I had to do was pay myself. I gave myself a good rate. I went back to the natural state, okay? But there were many people there. That's stress. So it's okay that people experience this. There's nothing wrong with it. A little anxiety, a little depression, a little this, a little that. Nothing wrong with it. Why? Because if you go to a person who could be meant to tell you, it doesn't have to be a psychologist per se. It could be a social worker, it could be a therapist, it could be a parent, it could be a rabbi figure, it could be somebody who cares about you. No platonic relationships. Okay? See me? Not her, but everybody else. Can help to bring you back to the natural state. So we spoke about the difference between the natural state and not the natural state. Okay? But that's all Kli Nefesh. But life is not just about the Kli Nefesh. Life is not just about being happy. Life is not just about, I'm going to wake up in the morning because when I go to Rabbi Schneider's class, I'm not making fun of it. Oh, Rabbi Schneider, she knows how to make a tremendous apple strudel. Amazing. Okay? Challah, sick. Potato kugel, woo! Made a lama ba! But that's not what life is. It's good! You gotta get there early. That's what life is. We are here. Basilis Sharm says, you are here. Enjoy the pleasures of this world. There's nothing wrong with it. You're here for that. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. The difference between people who feel like they're here and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the world, they can partake in it. You can use computers, use technology, use everything around you for, but to what? To what point? To grow. To grow your Mahut Nefesh. So if you're just watching a movie and that's all you get out of is watching a movie, big deal. But if you watch a movie and you're able to grow and you learn the lesson and then you're able to model that lesson with somebody else, wow, you've grown. You've done something to your Mahut Nefesh. And that's the second part of what we spoke about. That is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with the yearning to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel fulfilled, to feel spiritual. And that's what we have to do. That's our job. So here we are, a week before Rosh Hashanah. And some of you may feel, I don't feel connected. And maybe the message of today is, if you want to feel connected, all you have to do is you have to be open to wanting it. But being open to wanting it doesn't mean I'm going to get it by snapping my finger. It doesn't mean I'm just going to have one time, I'm going to bench, I'm going to have a good mincha. Wanting it means you have to work hard for it. A bracha to you, not only for the rest of the course of this year, but for years to come. So the bracha should give you the bracha of always wanting and yearning to get to your Mahut Nefesh, ultimately to have the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the different individual ways that it comes. Becoming stronger and growing in Yiddishkeit. And also, what we spoke about last week, that is, and then to be the creator that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. To create positive things in your life. positive relationships, positive attributes, positive things. Also, have a great day.